that's funny.
All right, I think it's 2:30, so let's get started. We're here, I'll start again since the microphone was on. We're here with Community Services doing the budget work session. Carla and Aaron are with us, and thank you so much for coming over to talk this through. Thank you for what appears to me at first blush to be an outstanding budget. How about if we start with the Community Services portion that starts on 55 and just work our way through? There's not a whole lot to talk about on the revenue side of things. Anybody have anything there? Okay, so on the expense side of Community Services, so as I understand, we got a proposed position that I would suggest we wait and talk about at the end, and let's talk about operationally what we're going to do, and then we'll talk about the position and how it fits both general fund dollars and mental health dollars together. Is that all right with everybody? Okay. All right, so I'm skipping down to office supplies. And my only question there has to do with FY 18, and assuming we need 1490 as our estimated there. It looks like we're running way under that.
We are. We're in the process right now of purchasing standing desks, and we had budgeted for that for 18. I know for sure that we'll be purchasing one with a mat for $450. The other individual that's interested is uncertain, wants to see the desk set up and make sure that she thinks it will work for her. So that's why I had left that at the 14.
Okay, well, let's just leave it there, and then I appreciate that you're back down to $450 for FY19.
Okay.
I go to the rest of page 57, and there were really no questions that I had. Laura Smarty, any questions on 57?
This is so across the board easy. This is a horrible one like this.
So tell me about the utility payments on 58. Tell me about the $7,000 there, because it doesn't look like we're running anywhere close to that, and frankly, we haven't approached $7,000 in the last few years.
Yeah, I think our three-year average there is the $5,393. We tend to see utility payments, the requests, increase in the spring when the moratorium for LIHEAP ends.
Okay.
We'll see more individuals typically coming in asking for that. It's an estimate. I think last year we maybe dropped it 1,000. It seems to me we've had it at 8,000 in the past, but you're right. We're not spending.
Yeah, so I'd like to see that number at 6,000, understanding that we're going to want you to do what you need to do there, regardless of what that number says to us. But just from a budgetary standpoint, it looks to me like 6,000 is more of a reasonable number.
Okay.
I think for both. Yeah, both re-estimated and for next year. And that was the only question I had on 58, Laura Smarty, unless you have something else.
I guess I would just point counterpoint. I mean, taking in light the weather that we've had, my suspicion is you're probably going to hear people out there digging holes right now on their utility bills. I know I just paid my light bill this week. And I guess I can, in my mind, you know, it's not any hill I'm going to die on, but I can sit there and say, just taking into account the weather that we've had and what we're probably likely to have, I don't think $1,000 hurts my feelings to leave it there.
Yeah, and my only counterpoint there is in FY17 we spent $5,100, in 16 we spent $4,800. So we're still ahead of that.
I'm just saying, you know, historically we had very mild winters in the last lately. And I'm just saying is taking into account the weather we've experienced. But then again, it's $1,000. If you need it, you'll come back to it. We will amend for it, and she'll get it. So
that's
I'm
right.
Okay. We're not saying no, and I never had a chance to get in there. We just amend to get it.
Yep. Just a point of clarification on LIHEAP, people are expected to be paying something towards their bill during the moratorium. It's not an automatic, you don't have to pay anything. Having said that, we know based on individual needs and what their situations are, you know, and where they're living, the bill can be much more than what they can afford, or they just simply won't pay.
Yeah, they go into a payment schedule as soon as that, April 1.
I don't know the exact date. I was thinking the middle of April sometime.
Because there always
seems to change a little bit.
They do a structured payment plan reflecting what they're going to consume during the shutoff period, which is the normal months, versus what was accrued in the colder months.
Right.
And is there a maximum?
Yeah, the most we can pay is $350 when it's just straight utilities.
Okay.
But we have an overall cap.
I'm just going out there at this point and taking the fact that it's darn cold.
It has been darn cold. But I'm expecting warmer weather in February.
You are the eternal optimist.
Okay, so I think we're done there. Moving on to mental health administration. There shouldn't be anything to talk about on revenue from mental health.
No.
But unless anybody wants clarification, and then we're going to skip the next couple pages and come back to them, which talk about employee and rationale therein. And get back to mental health. And so, Carla, talk us through on these mental health funds, how vetted is this from the region before it gets to us?
The figures that I put in this budget,
yeah.
It's not vetted through them. I put this together, and then I share that budget with the finance director, and then she rolls that information up into the regional budget.
Okay. So for me, I skip all the employee costs, and I'm down. My first question is on postage and mailing. It looks like you guys are in the process of getting a new postage machine, which I'm assuming will increase our monthly cost, which is why we're upping what we're spending there?
Yeah, what we're it's only going to be about
4 months a quarter.
Quarter, yeah, I think so.
I think I did the math yesterday.
Well, it's actually about 14-something a quarter. It's like, yeah, I think it's about 14 a quarter. But what we've been doing right now is just splitting the postage meter a third, a third, a third between VA, community services, right, and mental health. We've been tracking the usage, and what I look to do in FY19 is using percentages that we have right now, actually billing the funds based on those percentages.
Okay.
So mental health would be 75% of the postage cost.
Okay, and so I saw that on the community services side in general, it had come down. So
right.
Same, and then I can expect the same kind of thing out of VA. Maybe you, I don't know, Erin, if you've been involved in the VA.
I don't know this.
I could tell you what that percentage
you.
Is. I have it here if you give me a sec here. VA percentage is about 20%.
Okay. And he has been getting billed at 33%, so it's reasonable for us to expect that VA's postage will come down a little in 19.
Yes, I think so.
And then I skip to equipment rent and maintenance. I didn't see an explanation for the increase there. Can you talk me through that?
You bet. That's for the copier, and that currently, too, we're splitting it a third, a third, a third, so it's just aligning those percentages.
Okay.
Mental health would be 63% is what we're averaging right now.
All right, so we're just going to more, rather than the third, we're going to more of the actual usage by
each. Yep.
Audit and clerical services was the next question I had.
Yep.
So, you know, we're tracking on $2,900. We got $2,970 budgeted for last year. And then just a small increase, but I always like to understand where the small increases come from.
That was, this pays for the administrative assistant's salary with assets. So I put in a 3% increase there.
And that would be your expectation. Did this used to come from DCAT, is that right? Did DCAT ever fund part of that?
They used to fund, yeah. They used to fund.
And then the final thing that I think we've got to talk about is disbursement to the region, which there's no number in here.
Yep. And that was, Lisa and I had talked about this, and she had suggested we wait for the budget work session.
talk about it now.
Yep.
I am the one that actually did the re-estimation of the 1.682 for the current year. By, you know, seeing where we're at, what we're going to spend, that's about where I think we're going to pay out to the region. My guesstimate that I put a little question mark in council is 2.1 for next year.
Okay. 2.1 total.
2.1 out of the disbursements to the region out of line item. That's what I think we're going to owe them. Now, that's going to be dependent on their position and whether we approve that, because the region has the same policy as it has had in the past few years, and that's
200%.
200% of your local budget.
Right.
So if her local budget is, at this
right point, now it's 305.
305, so double the 600,000, then according to my calculations, we would be spending about 2.1 to leave that.
And I checked on that percentage as far as retaining it at the county level. And the finance committee, I think, still needs to review that. Jody indicated there was a conference call coming up sometime soon. But in the past, it's been 200%.
Yeah, so, but I'm struggling with the 2.1, and I'll tell you why I'm struggling with it, Lisa. So
this initial preliminary projection that you gave us, it looks to me like the region is only asking us to levy $2,155,398, right? And so if they're only asking us to levy that, and they let us maintain 200% of our operation, which is 600,000, I go 2.1 minus the 600, and I get to 1.5.
And my math here on where we're at with how much money we're going to bring in and everything else, if I want to balance 613,000, so the numbers I originally gave you, that our ending fund balance would be 2.7, and if we need 600,000 and 613,000, then the difference is 2.1.
But only levying for 2.1.
Yep.
It's because we have an ending fund balance.
We have an ending fund balance, yes.
Right.
We might need to adjust the current year a little bit and spend more. I'm looking at 874,000, which...
Yeah, so my goal would be that we kind of go year over year on this thing, right?
Right.
And so if they're asking us to levy 2.1, and we know that we're going to spend 300 and they want us to have an ending fund balance of basically 100% of what we're spending, then we budget that each year, and we just basically clean out the ending fund balance at the end of each year, right? Which keeps us on track.
Well, we clean out.
It means we're going to have a little more in our ending fund balance than just the 100% they want us to have, but I would rather do that.
200%.
Once we collect everything. For a short time, we would have 200% in there.
Right.
But then we would send that on to the region every year and be at our...
That's the problem with it, is because you have to make the regional payment before the end of the fiscal year. So you don't know exactly where you're from.
Right.
It's getting easier because there's no other revenues now. But
right.
You don't know exactly where you're going to come out. So what you're doing is you're projecting, this is where I think we're going to end up. This is what I think the difference is going to be. So this is what I'm going to send them. There's no actual ever.
Yeah, because the statements come out end of May, beginning of June, I think.
And in order to pay that out, you have to make sure you have enough budgeted. So you have to have amended the budget for it already then. So you're using projections all the way through.
So, backing up here a little bit, as I was writing down the figures Rick gave, and then I wrote down the figures that Lisa gave.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, the 600,000, first of all, that is the 300,000 we expect right now, our budget to be. We have to keep one time minimum reserves, which would be another 300,000, or do we have to keep two times our budget in reserve?
So they want us to keep
200% of whatever our budget is in reserve. So that would actually be 300,000 plus 600,000. That's how much we should be holding back then, 900,000?
No.
Okay, that's why I'm asking for the clarification.
So take your budget multiplied by one.
Okay.
By two. Yeah.
Okay. And we're going to spend half of that. So,
correct.
Okay. Thank you for that. All right. So then, what we got then for the levy is Rick says there'll be 1.5 going to the region.
Yes.
And you're saying that we have to levy the 2.1, which is the 600 plus the 1.5, correct? Where did you come up with $2,700?
$2,700,000. Because you got to add in the 600 that we're already holding on to, and that's what Markley and
thank
I are
you.
Debating right
okay,
now.
Okay, thank you.
Right. So if I look at the way it's sitting right now, we ended our fiscal year 17 with $637,000, which is about two times this budget, with a $1.6 million to the region in this fiscal year, which I'm re-estimating that's 1.6 right now from the conversation piece. We end our budget with 874,000, which is a little high. We don't need 874,000, but that's the slide right now. So if we raise that to 1.9 million, then we're down to 500,000.
Right. And so my issue is simply looking at this, and the reason that Lisa and I are having this conversation is, I don't think it's any shock to anybody that I look at each fiscal year standing on its own. And so if we go down the road of what Lisa's suggesting and plug $2.1 million in on this, we're going to end up spending 2.4 plus, call it more like 2.5, right? Because it would be the 2.1 that would go to the region plus the 305 plus probably a part of a position, getting us to 2.5 million. We're going to be spending budgeting to spend 2.5 million in a year that we're only budgeting to bring in 2.1 million. And that's where you start to get my hackles up. So I think it's an FY18 problem and an FY19 problem. And what I'm saying is, you're going to find me pushing back against us spending any more than $2.1 million in FY19 if we say that's what we're bringing in. And really, it's not the 2.1 that we want to spend. It's really 1.8 that we want to spend because of the overage. And then the rest of it becomes an FY18 issue where if we've got too much money in our ending fund balance, then we ought to look at transferring that at the end of FY18 to the region, and it becomes an adjustment to our FY18 budget, which is how I think we ought to operate.
That's how we did it last year, and
that's how we've done it.
Right.
And so if we budget 2.1 now, it would be a change in how we've been doing this. But as I think this through, maybe 1.5, we've been budgeting 1.5, right? With this theory, 1.5 plus the 300 plus the 300 is how we get to 2.1. Maybe it's more reasonable to budget 1.8 plus the 300. And then we have 300 in reserve at all times. Does that make sense, Lisa?
Yes. I just want to put the numbers out there so you know what the anticipation is. But it's a moving target. It's not a moving target. It's not a number we're ever going to know for sure.
Exactly. I just don't want to produce a budget that shows us spending 2.5 in a year that we're only bringing in 2.1 when that's not what really is happening. Right, and so here's what I'm going to suggest. I'm going to suggest that we plug in a 1.5-1.8. It's going to be 1.5 to 1.8. I think both, you can make a reasonable case for both of those, and we're going to see how our overall budget looks before we make a decision of what number we're plugging in.
And then as far as the reserve we've got, what you said is anticipated to be at the end of fiscal year, right, this fiscal year, our ending fund balance would be $874,000.
Which is, that's where I'm at by plugging in that 1.6.
Right.
So what I'm thinking is that 874 is actually, that we'll send more to the region, so we'll actually spend 1.8 or 1.9 to the region.
Right.
Got it.
And that ending fund balance will be closer to 600,000.
Correct.
Okay. And that's what we want to be able to keep because we'll spend of that 600,000, we're going to spend 300,000 of it, correct? So would this be the last year that our anticipation is at least that we will have any positive ending fund balance for
We will always put together a positive ending fund balance.
Okay, 600,000. Okay, so roughly 600,000. But if you figure 600,000 is our goal and we're at 874 right now, that's 274,000 about anticipated for fiscal year 18. That would be kind of the extra. All right. So that's why we're sending it off to the region. And then we basically have gone through all the reserves that we started with the transition over to the region.
Well, we've already sent all those. So that 874 is strictly based on the last 3 years, or it's the last 2 years of budgeting this way, where we're collecting.
Yeah.
And then, but only sending part of it on the region. We sent all our reserves back 3 years
the
ago.
$4 million or whatever.
Right. So we're through all those. This is an ongoing thing. And so the conversation we're having right now, Loris, is more philosophical rather than actual. The actual is we're going to be bringing in 2.1. We've got X number of dollars in reserve, and we're going to spend X number of dollars locally on mental health. And it's that equation. And then what I'm talking about is, philosophically, I've got a problem with us budgeting to spend 2.5 in a year that we're only going to bring in 2.1. When it's just a swag number.
Right.
So my suggestion is that we plug in somewhere, it's going to be 1.5 to 1.8. I think you can make a reasonable case anywhere in that range to plug that in. And then we're going to do what the reality on the ground tells us to do.
So, did CICS, are they operating at a budget? The number $2,165,000 sticks in my mind from the last CICS meeting, which I attended kind of as an observer. Okay? And there was a comment made, I believe, all right, if my memory serves me correctly, that like, that was maybe last year's, and it's $2,150,000 this year. So there was a comment made about how we actually were $15,000 lower than the region wanted.
We are $15,000 higher than we were last year.
Okay, that's all right. Okay, thank you.
For dollars.
Right.
But levy rate goes down.
Okay. So thank you for helping me on that conversation. But so that $2,165,000 is kind of what the region had budgeted, expecting from us, correct?
That's 215,538 is what the
they
region
asked us to levy.
The region is expecting from us.
Okay, thank you.
Right. Some of that will stay with us, some of it will go to
the correct.
And that's the conversation that we were just having.
And we can go down another road there. Some of it stays with us, but basically that ending fund balance is what's staying here.
Just like this.
Yeah.
Right. It just kind of keeps rolling over. The other thing to remember about the region, and we're not in a position to have that whole conversation today, but what total regional costs are somewhere still in the $13 to $14 million range. Is that right?
Yes, I think so.
And we're only levying to bring in, what, $9 million, $10 million as a region? We're bending through, we're spending through that reserve.
Right, which we need to.
We need to.
Yeah.
Right.
So for FY19, at the 2220 per capita,
right.
Total would be $7.2 million basically, that would be levied in all total,
right,
with all of the counties.
And total expenditures for all the count for the entire region is what? Do you have that?
So for FY18, projected expenses is $11 million.
Right.
And then FY19 expenditure budget is $15.5 million.
So we're spending through.
But they won't spend 11. They
won't spend that much.
Yeah.
We're losing our vote on the finance committee. We've discussed and passed and discussed. And
yeah, they don't budget like we do.
They don't spend the money.
So we're going to spend through X number of million. If we live with budget, we would spend through $7+ million of our ending fund balance in the region. If we live with what they really do, we're going to spend through $4 million of that ending fund balance. The important part to remember is if we're truly in a region that's spending between $11 and $13 million every year, our portion of that is more like $3.6 to $4 million if we didn't have the ending fund reserves. So we're getting a bargain at the 1.5 to 1.8 in terms of service at this point.
Okay.
But when we look out longer term, and it's one of the reasons that we need to, this is a bigger, broader picture, and I'm sorry that you guys got to sit through this.
Okay.
It's why when we start talking about what we're going to do with our overall levy rate at the end of the year. So right now, mental health levy is artificially low, but it's going to come back up. Unless the system totally changes, it's going to come back up, and we need to try to collectively manage our levy rate so that we don't get these peaks and valleys for our citizens. Okay? All right. Sorry about that, Carla.
No, you're very good. Thank you.
Just a comment on the $15 million regional budget. A lot of the times there are services included in that budget that are yet to be developed.
Right. There's, development costs in there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes some of that happens during the course of the fiscal year, and sometimes it doesn't, just from planning and engaging providers.
Mm-hmm. And that's totally, yes, I totally agree with that there has to be money in for that, and that's the way. I'm more disappointed in the system, again, that they've set up. Because unless NFL
504
gets changed, we're going to be hand-tied again very shortly, because we're going to have an ending fund balance that is way higher than they want us to have,
right?
But we're allowed to have.
Yeah, which is why, by the way, I was surprised that the region came back. I thought the region was going to take us way down in levy this year and really try to serve reserves.
I think that that conversation that was had, but nobody thinks that's a good idea.
Well, it's not a good idea from a business perspective, but we're not dealing with business, we're dealing with the state legislature.
Right. But you know what I mean. I mean, if you take it way down, then it does the same thing that the mental health has done to us for years, and that's peaking
out. Here you go. And that's what, so the limited ability that we as a board of supervisors have to control those peaks and valleys, we need to try to control those peaks and valleys, right? And it's through managing the rest of our levy rate that we can help to control those. So, all right, where were we?
You were off on a tangent.
I was off on a tangent. Oh, we were dispersed in the region. Okay, so are we good with just plugging that in, and we're going to come back and talk about that as part of the holistic budget? We're going to send money to whatever the region, whatever we need to send the region, we'll send the region.
Yep.
Everybody good there?
Yeah, 1.5 to 1.8.
That's what I'm suggesting. And so now it's time to talk about position, unless there's something else we need to talk about. All right, so now we're back to page 63. All right, Carla, talk us through this.
You bet. What I have there is requesting to add a full-time service coordinator position within our office. Looking for that position, they'll have different roles, but having the position funded three-fourths through mental health funds and a quarter through general fund dollars. Reason for that person, a bulk of the work that they will be doing is going to be mental health service coordination activities. And we are foreseeing, I mean, right now even we're experiencing an uptick in referrals coming through our office. We've done a little restructuring a little bit already with some internal duties. We have two administrative assistants who are full-time, that we are having them now fully process our general assistance applications. Before, they would partially process those applications. If somebody wasn't eligible with us, they could refer them on to other agencies. Now we're having them work that process the whole way through. And what that does for us is it frees up our service coordinators a little bit so that their schedules can be flexible a little bit more as far as getting out, meeting with clients and that. So we've implemented that change. By bringing this additional position on, I think it's going to help us just manage our referrals better or more efficiently. I talked with one of the service coordinators last week, and in a week and a half time, she had 5 new referrals. We're seeing an uptick in referrals coming to us from the homeless shelter. So with some of the changes we think that they've implemented there, it's helping them better assess individuals who are needing mental health support. Also, there's a change that's occurring within the MCO, one of the MCOs, where some clients who are in the integrated health home are being deserted. They're non-ICM level individuals is what it's referred to as. And those are folks who don't have additional services, so they're not habilitation funded where they need the case management service to manage that funding stream. And we know just in Story County with Iron Ball, there's 24 individuals that they're having to desert. They're being referred to the ACOs, the Accountable Care Organizations, which would be like your medical clinics. But we anticipate service coordination also getting involved with those individuals. With the new services coming our way with mobile crisis response, we're anticipating our service coordinators being involved, receiving referrals from the mobile crisis response, as well as the development with the crisis stabilization transitional living program. There will be an expectation for them to be over at that center on a regular basis. So needing that flexibility to get out of the office more. And the position also, what I would like to do, so we have one service coordinator that's in the jail. She splits her time between the jail and our office. And in talking with her, she definitely sees a need for more assistance for service coordination in the jail. I think we could probably have somebody there all day, every day. Actually, I would like to make it a mixed role because I think it's valuable for her to still be within our office. So the days that Stacy's at the jail full days right now. When we first started, she was there half days. She's now there full days, and she splits, so she might be at the jail 2 or 3 days a week, and then in our office 2 or 3 days, so whatever, maybe the opposite schedule. She's finding that to be more effective and more efficient for her because there are just certain times of the day in which she can see inmates, so if she's there all day, that helps. And so what I would look to do is have the days that Stacy is in our office, have that coordinator then out at the jail.
Would Kathy ever go out to the jail in this system?
No. She's our backup person for the jail, but she's also doing mental health first aid trainings. And so I would look to have her focus be with mental health first aid and regular service.
And still serve as a backup if the other two...
Yeah, she could still serve in that capacity if needed. She's been trained in everything. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so questions on the concept of the position itself, and then let's talk about the kind of the funding model that I'm seeing proposed here.
Mm-hmm. At the opioid task force meeting on Monday, mm-hmm. As various things were discussed, there was somebody from CCJ who said that made a comment about our jail diversion services and what a great job Stacy was doing, and literally said, unsolicited to me, but we need two of her. So that was an interesting comment that just came my way, and we're headed into this. Okay, so it's being noticed out there, the service being provided, it's being noticed that an increased need at least.
All right, so if there's no other questions about the position, let's talk about the funding, because it looks to me like you're talking about adjusting
existing staff, how they're funded,
so you're really not talking about any substantial additional general fund dollars. It's an increase in mental health dollars, but it's not an increase in general fund dollars, even though this position will be funded 25% out of the general fund.
Right.
You would change, is it Kathy?
Yeah, it'd be Kathy's position.
Who's currently 50-50, you'd change her to 75-25, so it's in essence a net zero for the general fund.
Correct, yeah.
Questions about that?
And I vetted this through our administrative team, and they were in support of a full FTE being funded through mental health.
Yeah, so, I mean, first of all, I need to commend you on the work you put in, looking at caseloads, looking at how, I mean, it makes it pretty easy for us to sit here and not, anecdotally, yes, we can hear that we need to, but we can see pretty clearly that two will have the kind of positive impact we would hope it would have. I think, Alyssa, I'm going to look to you. I don't know if you've had a chance to really review this and what your thoughts are. I'm feeling pretty good about it.
Yeah, I did. And Carl and I had a discussion, gosh, it's probably been a month or so ago, to look through the numbers, and she explained everything to me. You know, the amount of individuals served, you can definitely tell that compared to the counties that have one service coordinator, we do almost have triple. The numbers are there. And I agree with the president out of the jail. You know, I think that's it's been a big impact out there from what I've heard of having service coordination out there.
So,
Deb, this area reports through you. You have thoughts on this.
Carl and I talked about this, and I know the admin team for at least the last couple of years has inquired about Story County getting another full-time service coordinator, and it was just, I think, one to be careful and planful about the timing of that and making sure the duties were covered, and how that would look with the rest of the structure of the office. So I think it's been through very well and very well documented in terms of the need. And I hear a little bit about cases getting referred to the service coordinators who had previously been covered under the integrated health homes. I mean, there's just a lot going on within that Medicaid system that seems to be cost shifting back down to the region or to the county, and I don't think we're going to see that change very much in the next year or so. But we need to provide services to our citizens, and I think it's the right step to take.
Super. Marty, Laura's thoughts?
No, Carl and I have been having this conversation as we do regional business, talking about what happens within the county, and to see the uptick month over, this is not an unexpected. We got a portion of it, now the dollars are a portion that is a net zero to general. So now that this is, we've grown. This is a reflection of the population as we find it today. The need exists. We have the ability to do it. And I support the addition.
Okay. Laura?
I support the position too. So okay. It's a big case
that has been needed. All right. So, do we? I don't think we have the authority to approve a position right here. I think it's got to come to us in a Tuesday morning board meeting. But budgetarily, we can ask Lisa to start plugging in the numbers for an approved position as laid out here, and then get it on a Tuesday morning agenda for us, and come back and be ready to make this, even though we've all heard it, make the same pitch in our public meeting just so everybody has access to the same information. Okay? Good. What else for us to talk about today?
I have one question. Are you proposing July 1st?
Good question. I would like to, if possible, start the position yet this fiscal year. I think the need is there. We know some of our services, like the crisis stabilization, isn't going to be starting until FY19, but it will allow us to get that individual trained now.
Okay. Also.
So.
When will the mobile crisis come up? Is that still set for March?
Sure. Yep, I just had a meeting with Ierley Ball on Monday, and they are still shooting for starting to take calls in March. Okay. They're working on staffing up and training and everything right now.
And you feel, once again, that part of the need for the position as soon as possible is related to that.
Yeah.
I would just,
I think it'll take them a little bit for the referrals, for the calls to start coming in with mobile crisis response. But yeah. It'll again allow us time for training.
I would just throw this out here on a regional basis. It's vice chair, the admin team has asked the chair and vice chair to be in discussions considering regional employment. And we had our first meeting. It is something that if this was discussed early on, in 16, and there was no desire to move employment out of county record. It's a dual-tracked discussion in regards to succession planning, as you're going to be looking at people that are leading on a regional basis, leading us, and as far as raising up leadership or bringing new in. In addition to that, there was some discussion on a proposal basis to just to look at. As far as going there, not by any stretch.
Yeah, so I'll peanut gallery my way in on this one. I think ultimately we need to look at full employment by the region, but we need to be thoughtful in how we get there to the reality on the ground. So I believed, Deb and I can go way back on this conversation, that 5 years ago, I believed that the person in charge of admin for the region ought to be a regional employee. They ought to not have a tie, perceived or real or both, to a county. But we didn't get there to start with, and understandable. And I think ultimately we ought to look at all new hires that come into the system having some kind of mechanism to be able to hire by the region. That said, I'm going to be really hesitant to take any employee
our employees, any employee, who are in a system that they know and seem to appreciate, so being an employee in Story County with the benefits that accrue because of that, or an employee of Jasper County or an employee of wherever, let them finish their time as an employee of those entities and unwind this thing slow as we go. Makes a lot of sense to me, Marty, if you guys would look at as new personnel come on down the road, if there's a mechanism
that,
for the region.
And as I said, dual track in the sense that you have people in place serving that as the region came to be, and they start stepping away. John Brush over in Boone County is down to half time.
Uh-huh.
And you can literally sit there and look at Jill Eaton, Jody Eaton. I mean, these people are coming to, you know, they've had a very successful run on a county basis. They're serving on a regional basis, but as they their positions are replaced, that's where I think that they're just being preemptive and they were testing the temperature. If that was a discussion that wanted to be framed from the admin side to bring to the government side just to see where it was. I mean, nobody's offering up any time frames, but you're looking at multiple years.
Oh, yeah.
This is not anything that's going to jump out of the ground in 18 or let alone 19. I mean, we're going to,
what I think
we're going to be staring at the biggest problem in mental health is how we are going to be paying for it in light of 504. As far as the employment on a regional basis, we have a system that serves us well, and so we can configure a system that serves us better. We don't need to leave anything out of necessity. We're all in a pretty good place. But what the people that are in place leading us right now are saying, would you consider or would you like to have the discussion had?
Yep.
And that is absolutely all we're at. There's nothing anywhere other than the fact that on a intellectual plane, they said, would you consider, and if we were to formulate a proposal, they just want to kind of test it through the governance side of things. Because each county is going to have its own say on this one. And to that end, Green County is likely, I suspect, will be joining the region here on a going forward basis and talking to some other counties. So we're likely in the near term, probably by July 1, we will move from a 10-county region to an 11-county region.
Marty, have any other counties also inquired
down to three? What you do here in the conversations that I get brought into is the fact that CICS is well run, seen as well run, and is a place that if you have the opportunity to, if you can, in proximity to possibly want to join Green County Story, and that's how they present it. We get to the point where I think that we have extended to the borders because we agreed to the mobile crisis teams, and that's a heavy lift financially. Mm-hmm. And as you take the additional land masses, you stretch what you formulated on a 10 county basis, now you go to 11. And then all of a sudden, does that model work? And then if it doesn't, you're going to spend more money to keep what you proposed. We haven't got it to the point where the governance board has voted on Green County, but we are vetting it through the administration team in regards to what they bring to the table. It's modest. It will be the least populous county in the region. Surprisingly enough, they're smaller than Franklin. They don't know what is nice. They will not bring additional staff. They will bring dollars. Not a lot, but to your end, that as because they're coming out of a four-county region, Dallas County is the big stakeholder in that, and what I think is you're going to see possibly a scramble, but then again, I don't know if the state is willing to let the regions formulate their own alliances up until the point something drastically doesn't work. That's not our story. So we're doing well, and we're very... I would not think that we would take any additional counties on unless we're on a unanimous basis.
Yeah, I mean, let's make sure we don't. We got the best region. I mean, we absolutely have our best region. Let's don't diminish who we are by increasing numbers. But if somebody wants to join and they fit, let's go. I'm not positive about this. Deb, Carl, maybe you guys are. But so there was a big conversation when we formed our region of, was it going to be one vote per county or was it going to be population-based? And I think that the Dallas County region, they have weighted voting system, which I would think would make it a little more problematic. Story County was the one who stood up and said, no, if we're going to join a form region, it's going to be one vote per county, even though it would have benefited us as the largest county. But I think that's right. I think they're weighted, and that may help explain
why a small county would want
to. Well, Greene County story is the fact that when they ask for information on dollars expended, programming services provided, they're not getting answers.
Yeah.
They have seen what we do on a reported basis. They have approached Boone County primarily as their, you know, contiguous to it. And Boone has some very good things to say. And they say that, you know, you probably will serve if you would consider approaching for membership. You really don't want to get too much past a two-county away from the center, because on services provided, when we do it on a regional basis, and I go right back to the example of the mobile crisis teams, we can't be everywhere, and we can't justify the dollars to do everything. At some point, sad enough, you have to say no, because you become too big to do it, to deliver the services on a quality basis.
I figured you were trying to grow the land of cheap to rival the land of Lincoln.
No, Bob is on his own, and I don't know on a continuous basis how he's going to do it.
I guarantee you Lincoln doesn't have any sweater like that, though. All right, anything else for us today?
And going back to Green County just briefly too, I think the other benefit that they bring, that could bring to the region, is they've got a large provider in their county. But we have a relationship that our region already has a relationship with. So there's that. Second of all, the sheriff had his budget work session earlier today, and we talked a little bit to him and his staff about the Crisis Stabilization Center Transitional Living Program, and let them know that the region is going to be assembling some kind of a meeting for law enforcement to talk about that service as well as ACT and
Yep, we're, there's work being done on holding meetings kind of at the local level on that, I think. So, yep. We'll get that out.
Good. Aaron, say something just so you're on the
just
record.
Just so I'm on the record.
You got your
Thank you. It was a good learning experience.
Are you going to ask tomorrow for Brett?
I don't think so.
Oh, we have that would be a learning experience.
Right? Yeah. I think I'll just let him do that.
Fine. Lisa, anything else we need to talk about? All right. Call us a girl.
Thank you.
Thank you.